the biblical year 5786 that it would be through one new humanity, Reformation. If you want confirmation that your message is on time, let the enemy confirm it even more than the Lord. Christy and I have made a decision that once we make our yes be yes and we tell the Lord we're going to show up, we just do it. This fall feast, just to get to House of David, you're going to have to push through.
In this episode of the Kurt Landry Podcast, it is Rosh Hashanah 5786. We're going to walk through the prophetic theme of just the fall feast, but really dive into Rosh Hashanah, which is coming up in just a few weeks. So, Rabbi Kurt, man, we are super excited. I know House of David has been preparing for the fall feast for months now. I know the team collectively, in every single department that we've got, I know that you coming off your sabbatical, you spent a lot of time with the Lord on the fall feast and the direction and what the Holy Spirit was really trying to guide you to. So let's just jump in. I mean, a couple weeks away, we got Rosh Hashanah.
First of all, just to share, we have never, Christy and I have never taken a sabbatical before.
Really excited for you this year.
Yeah.
How was it?
Well, to be honest with you, it was very rough.
Oh.
I'll just be honest with you. Let's just start out. First of all, I'd never taken one, but the sound of it sounds like, oh, you're going to go like hang out on the beach and, you know, have your drink with the umbrella in it and have somebody drop grapes in your mouth or something. Yeah. I mean,
Or maybe.
I've never had that happen, but that means you have that, like, I'm going to a sabbatical. So anyway, we announced to everyone we're going to do it. It's 3.5 weeks. I had 12 questions. And now the reason that this was so important for me is that for me, I know like the Hammonds and Chuck Pierce and Gloria Zion is in total agreement with me with this. And that's why I'll be speaking at Chuck's the head of the year. And the reason he has me coming in, and I think I'm speaking on the Saturday, the main day, is because I had prophesied it at Gloria Zion at House of David that the biblical year 5786, the six, the number of man, that it would be the release of the one new man, or in Hebrew, one new humanity, Reformation. And so what that means is it's kind of like Reformation Day with Martin Luther when he nailed on the door of the church saying there's going to be a doctrinal, not just change, but a revelation of the power of grace. Well, the revelation that's coming in biblical year 5786 is the power of the one new man. Now, the reason I know this, and any of you would know this, is this. Look at the rise in the last 24 months of anti-Semitism in not just in Europe, but in the United States. I mean, it's amazing that the hate. Look at some of the Christian influencers who are now turning against Israel. And they're turning against Israel with false information. And I know for a fact, because I've been to Israel twice since October the 7th. I've had feet on the ground. Every place that they're saying all this stuff, I have physically been to these places. So I know the truth. I don't really have a platform in which to speak about it, because if I really got deep into it, I'd be canceled. But my point is, I can tell you for a fact they're buying a lie. So what you see with happening is most of the time, if you want a confirmation of like your message as a prophet, if you want confirmation that your message is on time, let the enemy confirm it even more than the Lord. And man, the anti-Semitism, it's really quite simple. Satan is trying to separate the church from his Genesis 12:3 blessing. Well, why not? I mean, if you're either blessing Israel, you'll be blessed. And if you're cursing Israel, you'll be cursed. So we're in a time where we're moving into a revelation of six, one new man, Reformation. That's what this is all about. And multiple high level senior prophets are all agreeing that that shift is going to take place. Well, why is that going to take place? Well, that's the Church of Philadelphia. in Revelation, it says the Church of Philadelphia has holiness, has truth in the key of David. Well, the key of David is the one new man. It's Jew and Gentile coming together, one in Messiah. The key of David is the key to miracles. So if we're going to walk into the Great Commission and these signs shall follow those who are sent, if we're going to be sent into the heathen world, we need to have power. Well, the best way for Satan to stop the power and the signs and wonders and the evangelists and the outreaches is get him to curse Israel. And guess what? There is no power, because God will not bless something that's cursed. And if you're going to operate in the nine gifts of the Spirit, then you've got to be in alignment with God and you have to bless Israel. So this year, Rosh Hashanah, the reason it is absolutely so powerful and absolutely, I think, important that you would actually be with us at House of David for the Awakening Blast, and I'll talk about the shofar in a minute, why it's so important, is because the Lord is preparing the only commendation out of the seven church in Revelation, the seven churches, the lukewarm church, the compromised church, all of them get correction, but the Church of Philadelphia has holiness, truth, and the key of David, no correction, just saying keep on with the faith. But they are the only one that have the commendation of the blessing of a guarantee, because you have holiness, truth, and the key of David. Guess what? You will rule and reign. You will be in the leadership of the 1,000-year reign of the New Jerusalem. All other six churches, you'll be saved, but you're not going to rule and reign in the New Jerusalem. Only one. So what is the key? The key of David. What is the key to the key of David? Jew and Gentile, one new man. This is the year that we're releasing it. That's why I went to these other prophets and I prophesied it at Gloria Zion. I said, prepare for the one new man reformation. All those prophets there agreed with it. I know that the Inside Vision Church and CI, Christian International, they agree that that shift is taking place. So why is this Rosh Hashanah so absolutely important? Because this is when the trumpet blast is released. And when the trumpet blast is released at Rosh Hashanah, then you have what they call the 10 days of awe. The 10 days of awe is between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Those 10 days is when the Lord pours out the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and provision for you to realign with what God is doing. And we have just finished an end of a 7-year cycle. We're starting a new 7-year cycle. And that's why I think this I really think this Rosh Hashanah is the most important one that I've ever been a part of in my life.
So I want to take it this direction real quick to give practical steps and intentionality and for people watching and listening to be aware of. What ways do you see how the enemy is going to slow people down leading into the next couple of weeks into 5786?
Well, I think with distractions, I think taking offenses, getting offended with people. There may be even people offended with what I just said. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I have been doing this for 36 years and I have never seen, the anti-Semitism at this level. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. You know, I had some, one of the ministers from Israel was traveling to Gloria Zion to speak, and she said that the Israeli government warned her at the airport to take off all Hebrew jewelry before she flew into New York. Now, that, I mean, I said, we've been doing this. This is like my 44th trip, the last trip to Israel. I mean, I'm in shock that it's getting that bad. So why is the enemy so anti-Jew, anti-Israel? Is because it's time for the Reformation. So the Reformation is coming, and the Reformation's going to happen. But I guess the biggest thing is just to find yourself in a place where you're offended or you're not, being obedient. You're going to, this fall feast, just to get to House of David, you're going to have to push through. There's going to be a lot of resistance, and maybe financial, maybe relational. But all I know is that once you make a decision to do something, you have to follow through.
Yeah. The last couple feasts, Rabbi, when we've had some of these events, like a multi-day type of feast event, and I've had such a privilege to meet so many of people of you who live in New Zealand, right? I bring up New Zealand because a couple of them just touched me so much, just sharing so much of what the ministry has done with the teaching and just the spiritual covering. But just being able to meet so many people to hear their stories that they, and a lot of these we don't have captured, right? But so many testimonials of what they had to go through to get to House of David, what the enemy put them through, but then the fruit that they had on the back end, right? Because like reflection, I mean, we were just talking off camera before we started this episode, perception, reality, and then reflection is how I kind of think of things in a stage when I feel like I'm in a season of something. I found myself doing that with like my two little kids all the time, me and my wife was looking at, she was sharing pictures that seemed like yesterday and two little tiny babies playing with each other on the floor. And it's just like, man,
it goes fast
all the time, just the current frustration or areas of just having to juggle everything in life. Right. When you're able to reflect on it, and it's powerful. And those testimonials through, people that support the ministry, support these projects on the humanitarian aid, but have changed their lives, their habits, and their patterns with the feast and the Hebrew calendar. It's fruit, it's 100% fruit. And so I want to look at the camera now for people listening. Want to invite you personally out to House of David for the Fall Feast 5786, Rosh Hashanah, just in a couple weeks. There's three feasts, Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot are going to be a multi-day event out in Fairland, Oklahoma at the main campus. So we want to invite you. If you want more information, just go to kurtlandry.com/register. We're going to put that link, Rabbi, in the description. Our team's going to drop it in the comments as well. But I just feel like I need to kind of take it down just from the testimonial side, because man, do we meet every feast, so many people with such powerful testimonials about where they're at currently in their lives, but like the journey they had to go, even the Shabbat on the road in North Carolina, Rabbi. I know we're talking about the feast, but just how much effort the enemy puts in
to stop them
yeah. Amazing.
Well, let me just say this, like this is a lifestyle for me. I'm going to give you two testimonies. Okay. Number one, I was reconnected to my biological father. Okay. And I loved my biological father. He's gone on to be with the Lord. He at that time was not married, but living with Nana Lori. And Nana Lori's totally the Jewish. She's from Palm Beach and she's Jewish. Okay. And she's just that. My dad has a heart attack. He's in the hospital and it's severe. She calls, she says, your dad's had a heart attack. You need to come down here and, you need to pray for him. He's dying. And I was leaving the next day to fly to Israel to have some important meetings with Prime Minister Netanyahu. And they were all planned. And these were stuff that was planned that was very covert. Wasn't advertised. It's not no photo ops, just taking care of business. And she called and I told her, I said, I can't do that. I'm leaving for Israel in the morning. And she wasn't saved. She got saved. Okay. But this is pre-saved. And she just cussed me up one side and down the other. Okay. It was bad.
Yeah. I've been there.
Yeah. And so then I felt bad and I said, well, maybe I should change. And I just waited. Then my dad called from the hospital. And this is what he said. this is where your life has to speak volumes. He said, I know that you, son, you're like a priest. He said, if you don't go and answer this call with Israel and meet with the prime minister, I will die. But if you go, I'll live. So he said, just pray for me over the phone. And so that released me. So I did. I prayed with him over the phone. I went to Israel, took care of the business. I came back. He had surgery. He lived another 15 years. Okay, so it really did work. But I'm going to give you a current one, how important it is to model this lifestyle of obedience to come. So we're down here in Florida, and I'm going to minister the Key of David at Vision Church in Santa Rosa Beach. And I get the most severe attack of plantar fasciitis. I can't walk. I'm on crutches. I literally cannot put my foot on the ground. It is excruciating pain. And our 9-year-old granddaughter, Arabella, asks her mom, she sees me. She knows I'm walking with crutches at the house. And she says, not around me. She says to Megan, she said, well, what's Saba going to do? I mean, he's supposed to preach Sunday. And Megan said to her, she said, well, he's going to preach Sunday. She says, yeah, but he can't walk. And she says, this is what you need to know about Saba. If he has to be put up there on a gurney and have him lay down on the floor, he's going to preach the message. She said, in all the time that I've known your Saba, which is my whole life, he has never once let the enemy keep him out of a pulpit. And he said, it won't happen Sunday either. and that's the truth. I mean, I have been with 104 fever, intestinal issues to the max, and I've preached. And overseas, sometimes you eat stuff over there, and, you know, there's issues here in America with your intestines, but if you're in Southeast Asia, they have another level of intestinal stuff.
Watch out.
But I made a decision a long time ago. I told the Lord, I said, if you ask me to go someplace, I will show up. And that, I think I would say that about these feasts. I'd say this about Rosh Hashanah, because if you're supposed to be there, I'm gonna try to say it this way. I know I feel like a crazy person, but with what I'm called to do, once I say I'm coming, first of all, if I had canceled on Netanyahu, who would have known like all the other stuff that wouldn't have happened? Well, he flaked out on me. He didn't show up. You don't know. I don't know. Making excuses like that doesn't really work at this level that I work at. You just got to show up. But I think with the Lord, Christy and I have made a decision that once we make our yes be yes and we tell the Lord we're going to show up, we just do it. I mean, do we sound like crazy people? Or
I don't think so. I think, you know, Rabbi, like the enemy is so good at the techniques. I mean, like we had an episode a couple months back and I was kind of sharing something I read, something I heard on, you know, as simple as a yawn is an attack from the enemy to delay what you're doing with that day. Because if he can get you to hit snooze 15 times, then if you're someone that wakes up early in the morning and like the peace, the quiet, what comes with, you know, no sun out, just like that quiet time in the morning to connect with your Father in heaven, if he can delay that, right? Like as simple as a yawn. And so, you know, I wanted to take it a little bit this direction to help prepare people, because I know one thing since me and my wife moved out to Fairland, out in that area, and started working with you in the ministry. Oh, buddy, have we been tested a crazy amount? I mean, more, I've been tested in 3.5 years, more than I've been tested the other 29 years of my life. Seriously, it has been that intense. But I tell you what, at this point, I guess I'm thick skinned. And it's just about building perseverance and figuring it out and building your faith. And I think with these feasts, look, I know there's a lot of travel. There's a lot of stuff that kind of draws into it. There's a lot of delays. There could be sickness in your family. It seems like a lot of the testimonials that there's personal sickness or a pretty big sickness within the internal family that just so happens to come in right around when that trip is coming up. And so I want to encourage people to push through, because if the Holy Spirit is leading you there and you want to join us and you feel called to do it, this is a time for commitment, right? Especially for men. I want to speak to men on the godly masculinity of saying, I'm going to do what I got to do, right? I'm going to take 1 Corinthians out there, out in chapter 13, and I'm going to put my foot forward with faith and be strong, and I'm going to do it.
Because you got to lead by example.
You got to lead your family, right? And, you know, I just feel like I needed to put that challenge out, especially to the men coming out, leading your family, to anyone coming. I want you to prepare. When Rabbi says that, hey, prepare for the attack, it's real. I have lived it quite a bit, but I can tell you at this point, sticking around and pushing through it, it will make you so much stronger. Your faith will be stronger. Every other aspect of your life, you know, it'll be harvest season. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to see while you're in the moment, Rabbi. It's
exactly.
Reflection.
That's why this, you know, we start out, we're talking about the sabbatical. So in the sabbatical, I had five serious hospital issues with people in House of David. That never happens. Had two people pass away. All in that window. And then all the questions that come in to deal with all that. So what I ended up having to do on the sabbatical was to, because you can't take a sabbatical from pastoring. It doesn't work. So I took care of all the pastoring I needed to do. But what I had to do, Daryl, is I had to get up at 3 a.m. and from 3 to 5, get the 12 answers. So what happens is you have to toughen up, and literally the last day of the 3.5 weeks, the 12th answer came, and I got it at like 5:30 a.m. So what happens is you just like, how important is that information? For me, we're in the time of a 7-year shift. I'm leading an organization. I have a family I'm leading, and I need to know what God has said. So I have a 10-year plan for all of you guys and everything we're doing here in Florida, everything we're doing in Oklahoma, and more importantly, everything we're doing in Israel. I need to know that all of that has to be, it's not so much business planning. Yes, it is, but it's how do you pray? How do you prophesy? How do you decree? How do you know what to ask for? Because a lot of times I think people just ask randomly for things, and you have to be careful for what you ask for, because you may get some answers to things and get things that just really become such high maintenance and distractions that you probably wish that you didn't answer for it. I want to talk about four benefits of a shofar blast, so to say, at Rosh Hashanah. So let's shift to that. The first one is Rosh Hashanah is a time where the Lord awakens your soul, your mind, will, and emotions to be able to hear, see, and know what's hindering you and holding you back from where you need to go. There's an awakening blast. And the second one is the awakening blast, the shofar blast that comes during Rosh Hashanah, because this is a time of trumpets. This is a time, you know, Jesus will return on Rosh Hashanah at the sound of the trumpet. But the second benefit is it encourages you to worship. What happens is there's an awakening of thankfulness and a desire to worship the Lord. Third, there's a release of divine instruction. There's instruction, practical application and planning and goals, all good. I teach on all of it. But divine instruction will bring that Issachar anointing of saying, this is the time to do this, and this is a time to wait on that. Very important. And the fourth thing is the call of the shofar blast. And I want to do just a little bit of Hebraic teaching on the shofar. Okay, the word shofar in the Hebrew is shen vav pei resh. Okay. And that's how you spell shofar in Hebrew, but it's so important. In fact, you know, I've got this shofar here, and I'm actually going to blow this shofar. I'm going to blow it for the people, but I want you to understand, like, because this is what Rosh Hashanah is all about. It's about, we believe biblically and in the Hebrew culture, this is the sound of this is the voice of God. So we believe that it's opening up. So if you look at the letters, Shen means a supernatural victory, resurrection, divinely appointed with promise. So I'll say that again. Shen means supernatural victory. There's something about being in the house at Rosh Hashanah and we'll have more shofars on the floor. They'll be down all across the front of the altar, down the walls, blowing that quantum sound of probably, I don't know, 40 or 50 shofars blasting. It's amazing. Vav, the second letter, means to join together, to seal, secure two sides that have been separated. This shofar blast is going to bring Jew and Gentile, one new humanity, together. The shofar blast is literally going into the atmosphere, and it's bringing that sealing of one new man. Pei is the mouth. It means that the mouth speaks. Pei is all about why we do the immersion. The immersion is to cleanse our heart so our mouth will speak with power. And resh means the head of the year, or the most important time for the master has need. So we're moving into that season, literally, when this shofar is literally, it's symbolic of absolutely so much hope. An innocent animal had to give his life in order for this trumpet to be able to make a sound. There would be no Israel without this. Think about this mystery. On the same mountain that Jesus Christ was crucified, the Lamb of God, the same mountain, this is where Abraham took Isaac to the mountain. And what did he say? He said to his servants, "The lad and I shall return." They were going up to do a sacrifice. He literally ties his son Isaac, the son of promise, after all they've been through. He's full grown. He ties him on to a stack of wood, and it's going to light him on fire and sacrifice him to God. And as he raises the knife, an angel of the Lord comes and stops, takes the knife and stops him and says, "Okay, you've passed this test." And then in the thicket, there's a ram that is stuck, so to say, with a shofar. That's why this shofar is so important, because it was the ram in the thicket that literally saved the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which Jesus is part of that lineage, and at the same mountain brought deliverance to all. But an innocent animal had to give his life. So after it's separated from its old nature, just like you and I, you were separated from your old nature, then the next thing the rabbis do with this is they boil it out with hot salt water. They baptize it. Then after it's baptized, it's laid out in a place in the sun where it dries. Okay? Then after it dries, then the rabbis go to the place where it was used as war for dominance and power. Its strongest place, it's drilled out, just like you and I. Then the breath of God, the Ruach, God puts his breath, he breathes into it, and when he breathes into it, it makes a sound that literally makes an alarming sound that breaks the yoke. The angels of the Lord hearken onto the blast. So Rosh Hashanah, that's why Jesus will return at the Mount of Olives at the sound of the trump. Why is Rosh Hashanah 5786 so important to you? And why would you even consider coming to House of David and traveling from around the world to be there for this? I know I just got friends of mine from Montana, First Nations apostolic leaders, they said the Lord told them they're going to be there. Why would we gather together? Because there's going to be something in the sound and that quantum physics that breaks all the soul ties to anything holding us back from that which is not supernatural. God's releasing miracles. God's releasing the key of David. And God is releasing you and unlocking your kingdom destiny so that you can be a part of the solution to impact the world, not part of the problem. So if I may, can I go ahead and blow this for you? That shofar blast for you. So make sure you join us for Rosh Hashanah 5786.
And Rabbi, I kind of wanted to end this episode with a little bit of a challenge for you watching and you listening. When you have a little bit of time, or maybe it's not something you really do, try in the next week or so, wake up really early in the morning, spend some time with the Lord in prayer and scripture and worship, and ask Him in prayer if this feast, if the fall feast of Rosh Hashanah, is a place that you need to be here at House of David, and just let the Holy Spirit take you, because we sure know exactly the blessings, the release, Rabbi, that everybody's going to get if they're able to make it in person. But if you're unable to join us in person, it's no problem. Just let us know so we can get you some resources, help you along, any educational type of stuff that we have, blogs, any type of downloads, Rabbi. You just go to curlandry.com/register. It'll be everything on that homepage once you go to it. We'll also put the link in the description. All right, Rabbi, last thoughts as we wrap up this episode.
Leviticus 23:24-25. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. This is a time when you bring that breakthrough offering to the Lord. And we blow trumpets over it. And the fire of God brings the increase, destroys all the poverty, all the orphan spirits, all the shame and guilt and the lack. And the revelation of Deuteronomy that it says, and the Lord will give you the ability to create wealth with your hands so that He might establish His covenant within you. This is a time of that trumpet blast to awaken your provision of protection, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would go out to the highways and the byways, that the Lord's house might be filled. And Lord, bring your children who are called and chosen for this hour in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen and amen. All right, it's going to do it for this episode of the Curt Landry Podcast. We'll see you next week.